Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, we're going to be geeking out about headless e-commerce, which, if you're anything like me, you've heard about this, and you have enough of an understanding about it to really just sound dumb around people who really know what they're talking about. And so my goal today, bringing on Brian Anderson, who's the CEO and founder of Nacelle, which is a headless e-commerce solution for Shopify Plus, is to really understand what this whole headless thing is about. And so we talk about, at a very high level, headless e-commerce lets you separate the back end of your e-commerce from the front end. So if you're using Shopify right now, you've got to use the Shopify front end, their CMS, and the back end, their admin section. But headless lets you separate those two. So why would you ever do that to yourself? Cause all that pain and engineering and development angst unnecessarily. We dive into that. We talk about the elements you actually need, and you're going to have a front row seat to me repeatedly saying, Brian, you just explained this, but I still don't understand it. Why would you need this? So if you've been afraid to ask the dumb questions, the quote unquote dumb questions about headless and how it works, fear not. I'm here to look like a fool on your behalf. So hope you enjoy it. Brian was super helpful. I feel like I have a much better understanding of it. Hope you do too after this. Kind of a cool opportunity I want to mention. Over the last 3 months or so, I've been working with the team over at Auto Anything. That's Drew Sanaki's company, the company he's CEO of, to launch a site called Overlander.com. It's an e-commerce site in the overlanding space, which if you don't know what that is, it's just kind of a fancy word for off-road driving and camping all mixed into one. And space I love, I really enjoy. It's been a lot of fun to work on it. But I came on board with their team just for a short time to kind of advise, help get the site launched. And after it's live, after the holiday season, I'm going to be stepping away. And we're looking for a long-term head of Overlander.com. So if you know what overlanding is, if that gets you excited, if you're the kind of person that knows that space well, has a rig that you're heading out on trips, either a weekend warrior, or maybe you've been on, you know, multi-week or multi-month trips, and you understand e-commerce, you understand branding, you understand content, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to be looking to hire for this position in late October, early November, and you get a chance to be in a great business, cool space, but also work with me in the transition for about 4 to 6 weeks as well. So if that sounds interesting, you can learn more at ecommercefuel.com/overland. And then finally, huge, huge thank you and shout out to our sponsor, our good friends at Klaviyo, who makes email marketing and SMS automation incredibly easy, powerful, and profitable. By far, these guys are the number one solution for automated email marketing in our community of private store owners. I think, man, if I had to guess, they're probably the most popular email platform by 2-to-1, 3-to-1 maybe. And it's just because their automation engine is incredibly powerful. You get so much data on your customers pulled in from your shopping cart that tells you when they bought things, how much they've bought. You know, it even gives you ideas like lifetime value, how much they're going to continue to buy potentially in the future. And you can set up these automated flows so you can think hard about it once, or your team can sit down, build out the flows. And once you've put it into practice, those people who bought widget A are going to get the follow-up email for widget B every time without you having to do anything, more or less making you money without you having to put in more thought into it. Very cool. So if you want to get started with them for free, check them out at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. And a huge, again, thank you to them for making the show possible. All right. Everything you ever wanted to know about headless e-commerce is coming your way right now. Brian, so I'm going to make you go back to what is at this point insanely fundamentals for you. But for those of us who don't live and breathe this, what is headless commerce for people who aren't intimately familiar with it? What does it mean? What is it at a high level?
Headless commerce has this unfortunately abstracted definition, which is, oh, it's the decoupling of the front end and the back end. And I think for most e-commerce merchants, that basically means nothing, right? What does that mean? And I think understanding that there's a separation of the front end and the back end is the first fundamental, sort of first principle way of opening the door to new technology that helps you improve conversion rate and improve your customer shopping experience. So the idea of, you know, traditional Shopify or traditional WordPress even is one where the back end and the front end are pieced together in a way that forces the system to make opinions and assumptions about what the front end experience needs to be like. So when the system first comes out, like when WordPress first came out, really the front end was perfectly designed for that age. Same with Shopify, which, you know, was really released in 2004. When that back end and front end pairing first came out, it was brilliant. Since 2004, there's been a number of advancements in the web. And I think customers have a psychology where they want a certain speed. And when they click around, they don't want to have long lags or delay times. And I think what this separation does is it says, okay, let's not make an assumption about what that front-end customer experience should be. Instead, let's leave it open and let's let the new technology come in and form that front-end experience. But let's keep it separate from the back end where, you know, a merchant can make all of their merchandising decisions about, you know, what products go up, what collections to build, and what content to add. And so having that separation sort of opens the door to this new technology that makes for a really modern storefront.
That makes sense. So, and just to clarify, back end, you're talking about like for Shopify, for example, the Shopify has both of them in one, but the back end would be the admin section where you add products, order management, et cetera, things like that. The front end would be the actual public facing, you know, what the product sees when they, or when the customer sees when they shop, you know, what you do, the actual web page looks like on the front end. Is that right?
That's perfect. Every time I said back end, replace it with admin dashboard. Every time I say front end, replace it with customer shopping interface.
Perfect. So why use it? When you talked about, you know, the connection between the back end and the front end and there being limiting factors there in terms of user interface, in terms of speed and things like that. To me, that doesn't intuit. Obviously, that's reality. You're building a great company around that because that's a problem. And at first blush, that doesn't make sense to me. Why is it that when I think about, let's use WooCommerce, for example. WooCommerce, you've got, it's fully open source. You can dive in there. It's the same backend and front end on the same system. But let's say you want to speed up the front end. You could potentially use a CDN. You could use caching. You could use JavaScript compression. If you wanted to customize it, you could go in there and you know, get into the code and tweak it any way you want. So what are people not able to do in that situation where they can access the code that Headless provides even more functionality? See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's a great question. So, and it actually is a question I asked myself about 3-4 years ago when I was at my Shopify Plus agency. We had a number of merchants coming to us and saying, hi, our page load speed is really slow. More and more of our traffic is mobile traffic and our conversion rates aren't great. We believe it's because of this latency issue, and talk about that more. But the notion of, hey, can you please speed this up to increase our conversion rates and our AOV? Is there some way to do this? Was intriguing to us at the agency. And we started to explore all these things. Some of these things you said, like, hey, let's swap out the CDN of Shopify and let's replace it with something more performant potentially. Or, you know, let's try, you know, certain compression on both the image asset side and the JavaScript side. And what we found is that although those things worked a little bit, they didn't radically move the needle. You know, we were seeing improvements in conversion rate around maybe 3-5%, which is okay for a really, really large store. Maybe that's millions of dollars, but for most stores in the mid-market, that was not really enough to justify the cost of doing those custom things. And so I think what merchants really needed was a solution that had a more radical change. And you know, the notion of why is interesting. The psychology of the customer that's shopping online today is very different than the psychology of the customer that was shopping online 10 years ago. Often they're, you know, I mean, we're in quarantine and lockdown, right? So maybe they're sitting on their couch and they're going through their Instagram feed. And it's very intuitive. It's very easy to scroll through this mobile native app where Facebook has probably spent, you know, hundreds of millions, if not $1 billion on getting that experience really rich and seamless. So, you know, this customer's kind of going through their Instagram feed and they see maybe an ad for your store and they click on it. And something happens in that moment. They're transported to the web browser. And when they start to interact with your store and click around and look at the products, everything has to reload. Every time you click on something, everything's really slow compared to that Instagram experience. So even though they might be interested in your brand or that ad spoke to them in a way that was unique to who they are as a person, they're most likely going to exit out and go back to the Instagram feed because subconsciously, it's just so much easier to scroll through that.
Yeah. So is it and maybe I'm jumping heavy here, is it less so about the fact that you can't have a great experience coupled with a back end and a front end? If you created a shopping cart from scratch in 2020 using all of the technology available today, cutting edge, you could probably get away with that just fine. Is it more of an issue that a lot of the platforms that you're going to use for e-commerce were not designed in the last 5 years, maybe even substantially longer, further back from that? And so the front end technology that they're using, it's not lightweight, it's not modern. And headless commerce isn't the biggest thing with headless commerce is that it allows you to use all of the legacy, well-built out enterprise or just really, really well thought out backends where performance isn't as crucial. You've got a team who's in there every day. They can learn it. The learning curve is less of an issue. And you can build it with cutting edge technology on the front. Is that really the promise of headless?
Yeah, but I would make the argument that even if I were to build something from scratch today, I would still have a problem of how do I then manage the content? How do I get the checkout right? How do I make collections and products and add variants to those products in a way that's consistent with my brand and consistent with my inventory? That's a lot to build. So I still don't know if a custom build is particularly correct, because the amount of work and energy you'll have to put in to actually building that out just to use the progressive web app front end or a headless front end, it's probably still not the right choice. So I do think using something like a Shopify still makes sense in the headless world.
Okay, that totally makes sense. You solved the question on the why, but now you open up a whole nother can of worms for me. So what exactly, maybe we can talk about the implementation. When you think about how you're going to implement this, is it just, originally I thought it was just a backend that let you talk to it with a really great set of APIs, Shopify, for example, so you can super robust API, you can custom build your own setup. But do most people who go headless, do they use some piece of software like your own or Shopify that maybe it doesn't build out the whole front end for you in the way that a WooCommerce template or a Shopify template would have, but it kind of has the building blocks for you for like an add to cart or like an attributes or checkout where a developer can go in and there's libraries, existing libraries and frameworks that really cut down that process of building out the front end, even though it's much more custom than a theme. Is that usually included with most headless solutions?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the best place to start is to look at what Shopify offers out of the box as a headless solution. I made this mistake at our agency to kind of continue that story where, we were looking for these great mobile solutions for our merchants. And I said, look, the Shopify API, which is really robust, which we had a lot of experience with, we can actually use that to pipe data to a front-end progressive web app. And that will actually solve a lot of these problems. Because here, I can build this component and I can build this cart and this PDP and this PLP and this search functionality all by using Shopify's API. It did work for a number of our merchants. There's some great case studies that Shopify actually has up on their headless landing page that speaks to, some of the good work that we did back at the agency. It's a bit of a secret, but we were actually never profitable on any of those builds because we had to pour so many resources into what I call the enablement layer. Basically, the layer that sits in between Shopify and your CMS and your front end or the storefront that actually does the display and holds the PWA experience. There is a number of infrastructure decisions you have to make, and there's a number of important data structures that have to get done correctly and data flows that have to get done correctly in order for this thing to actually work in production. And so despite our merchants doing really well, we were not profitable because we had to spend, thousands. I actually added it up the other day. It was approaching 8,000 hours of dev work that we've done just to get that enablement layer right. And that's why it's taken 3 years to really, get the proper know-how and really understand how to do this correctly. So it's no joke, but what is important is if you're interested in this and you wanted to pair, say, Shopify with Nacelle, you can actually get a proof of concept running out of the box, in 30 minutes. So certainly it's not, it's a template, right? It's not certainly styled the way your store will need it. You'll have to spend time with CSS and you'll have to spend time maybe building some custom components to make it appropriate for your brand. But it is certainly a whole lot easier than, the amount of work you'd have to do and if you were just using, a headless solution out of the box.
Got it. So let's talk through that stack here for a minute and then also want to touch on what a progressive web app is for those who don't understand it. So when you think about the stack, let's say somebody wants to go headless and they're on Shopify, they're just starting a brand new store. Let's do it. Let's make it easy. Want to create a headless solution. So they have Shopify Plus, which offers headless. They set up that account there. What are the other elements of their tech stack do they need to have in order to be able to have a fully functioning headless e-commerce solution? Maybe starting with that Shopify Plus fundamental, and maybe we'll talk about Nacelle in a minute, but you can use it. We could use that in there. Yeah, walk us through that though. So what would you need for a fully working headless stack?
Well, truthfully, I think the only thing you'll need is Shopify Plus and Nacelle, and that will take you pretty darn far. The thing that the majority of our merchants pair into the stack is a content management system. So something like a Contentful or a Sanity. You could use a WordPress, although I think a number of our merchants are opting for a more modern CMS like a Contentful because it does have headless capabilities out of the box. And what this allows you to do as the merchant is sort of drag and drop to move around components on your page. And it also lets you build landing pages on the fly, all without a developer. And that is a functionality that a lot of our merchants are very interested in. They want to A/B test different copy. They want to try out, you know, sending campaigns to different landing pages, and they don't necessarily want to have to put dev resources into those minor changes.
And this is the CMS part, the optional CMS that you could have for the stack. That's what you're saying, right? That lets you do all that stuff?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So you've got the back end Shopify Plus, powers everything, the brains of it more or less. You've got the CMS, could use WordPress. Sounds like there's a couple more kind of more modern options built more towards headless right now. And Nacelle, which you offer. What Nacelle specifically, your app could do that. What is that category called that Nacelle represents though? What would you like the category of product that you're building, what is that referred to as and what does it do exactly?
Yeah, it's a headless commerce layer. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's this enablement layer that pulls in your data from your content management system. It pulls in your data from your backend Shopify instance. It pulls that data together in a way that's kind of rearranges everything and makes it really congruent and then sends it down to your front end that creates the actual progressive web app storefront.
Okay. Wow. So we got a lot of stuff. And let's talk about progressive web app now. So you've got, when I think of a progressive web app, and I am not a developer, as you can obviously tell, I think about almost like a marriage between a web page and an app where, you know, you get the functionality, you can load it from URL. So most browsers can go pull it up, but it has a lot of the functionality of an app that you otherwise would have to download in much more convenient form and packaging. So it's like kind of like a web browser experience on super steroids. Is that a fair way at a very high, you know, super dumbed down level way to think about it? Is that fair?
You know, we need a product marketing person. I'd love to hire you. That was great. Yes, I think that's a good way of thinking about it. Going back to our customer who's browsing through their Instagram, they would get transported to the web browser. But once the first page loads on the homepage of your site or your store, it never has to load again. And so it's much the subconsciously, there's not this sort of deterrent or barrier to navigating from page to page. And what this means for the customer is now I can fully explore the product catalog. I can get an in-depth understanding of what your offering is and what your product is. And this is really important. It's easy for me to add to cart. So easy, in fact, that I actually get the opportunity to understand your brand and determine if this is a brand that speaks to me as a person. And I think often in funnels that, you know, are doing sort of media buying and then sending to a mobile site, because the reload has to occur on every page, it's one of those things where you end up optimizing for the add to cart and the checkout, and you never really get the opportunity to inject your branding and your storytelling and your narrative into that experience. And so even if you get a checkout, you know, is that really going to turn into a great customer over time? Maybe, but wouldn't it be great if we can actually speak to that customer in that shopping experience without sacrificing that branding?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So just to summarize for everything on headless again, you have brains like Shopify, backend handles everything. You have kind of an intermediate layer, which is that the headless layer of e-commerce, of which Nacelle would be one option. It kind of acts as the in-between between the admin and the and any of the progressive web app. You also have a CMS potentially that also kind of works in the in-between layer. What about would that headless layer like Nacelle, would that also, if somebody wasn't using a progressive web app and they just had a standard website that they wanted to use headless? Or is that even a thing? Like, if you're going headless and you don't take the advantages of using a progressive web app, is it you're kind of like giving away half, two-thirds of the benefits of headless? Like, is that even a thing? Do people do that?
Well, I think so. There's other advantages to headless, but what I've found is for the majority of merchants, what they really care about is conversion rate and cart sizes and the ability to speak their message to the persona that they're going after. So yes, you can have headless without a PWA, but you can't necessarily have a PWA without headless. So that's the relationship between the two.
That makes sense. And for a PWA, is that something that, like Nacelle, for example, if you get one of those headless e-commerce layers, pieces of software like you offer, do you have a kind of a basic PWA that people can use, can customize? Do people have to go out and build their own PWA from scratch, from the ground up every time they do this?
Yeah, so the PWA, the Progressive Web App, is generally built with JavaScript. And there's really three frameworks that are leading the charge in this world. So there's something called Vue, there's something called React, you'll hear those often. And then within the React world, there's Gatsby, and there's Next, and there's sort of all these different options for how you want to approach it. That's for your developer to choose, right? Whatever he or she is most comfortable with. With Nacelle, we automatically send data down into that JavaScript framework that your developer chooses. So he or she doesn't have to write any backend code in order to create the Progressive Web App front end. That's why our merchants tend to be able to build stores really quickly, and also why I think it's a really pleasurable developer experience for a lot of the partners that we work with. But we have the equivalent of a headless starter theme, if you will, where you can, again, you can kind of just fire it up and kick the tires and get a proof of concept and actually see your store fully functional. It includes a homepage, it includes landing pages, includes a full, very robust PLP with search and filtering. It includes a cart. And when you go to checkout, it redirects you back to the trustworthy Shopify checkout.
I see. Okay. What we were talking about, you know, in our earlier conversations before we hit record here, I kind of referred to WordPress as the front end. And you quickly corrected me and you're like, no, that is not a front end. And I think I'm understanding that a little bit now better given what we've talked about. Is the reason why it's bad to think or incorrect to think about WordPress as a front end, it would be the CMS that would maybe, if you decided to use it, again, probably a suboptimal choice, some of the other options you're using though, but it kind of sits there and it kind of gives you the interface to be able to maybe add blog posts or write things, to be able to enter the data in an easy way for your team. But when it comes to actually displaying it on the new website, on the Progressive Web App, that front end or that Progressive Web App is going to be doing the lifting. And so really it's more of a data storage as opposed to something that renders. Is that why you corrected me in the way you did?
That's the perfect explanation. Yes.
Awesome. Cool. So when you think about, like, there's a lot here, right? You get so many layers and obviously huge advantages in terms of customization and speed and modern shopping. What kind of investment do people need to make to consider this to be an option? Most of the people listening to this are, you know, probably on average high six or low to mid seven figures. We definitely have some eight figure stores that listen as well. But, you know, what's an investment like this? Because it sounds like between all the stuff going on and the development team and who is this a good fit for? Where does it start to make sense in terms of when your business gets to be a certain size? Because there's, you know, given the investment.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I've quoted a certain number. And what I've found is it's less about a certain number and more about the stage that you're in as a merchant. I am a huge Shopify fanboy. I built my whole career around Shopify. And if I were to start a store tomorrow, I would use Shopify and I wouldn't use it headlessly. It lets me get up and running really quickly. And it gives me an immense amount of power across many different areas: order management, fulfillment, customer management, product collection management. And so I would start my company just with Shopify as it is out of the box. The moment that I would start to think about headless is the moment when I realize I have strong product market fit and I have a distribution channel that I figured out, meaning I know that if I invest, you know, a dollar into this channel, I'll get, you know, $1.30 back. And once I start to understand where my channel is and I start to build my following, that's when my mindset shifts from, okay, I know what apps I need. I know what my stack needs to be in order to get, you know, those channels working really well. Now, how do I improve our growth? and how do we improve conversion rates for each of those channels? And the moment my mindset switches to that, I'm starting to think more like a brand, and I need to start thinking about what's going to accelerate the growth of my brand in a way that's really friendly to my customers. So maybe I don't want to do discounts every left and right, and that's how I'm going to grow. Maybe instead, I'm going to offer a really great customer shopping experience, and that's going to increase my conversion rate and my AOV. I think that that shift in mindset is really when it's appropriate to think about this. Now, the costs are interesting. You do need a developer to do the build. So it's not unlike Liquid and Shopify, where perhaps you need a developer to customize a template or a theme or build something custom for you. So you can think of it as a custom build in that regard. And there is a monthly fee to cover the Nacelle infrastructure costs as well.
So ballpark, if someone was going to get up and running with a brand new, let's say they already had Shopify in the back end and they just wanted to go from Shopify, standard Shopify front and back to Shopify headless with Nacelle. When you think about, let's use Nacelle, what would be, are we looking at a ballpark, a $5,000 all in? Are we looking at a $50,000? I'm guessing it's probably somewhere between those two, maybe on the higher end of that. What's a, first to get live, what would that look like for costing?
Yeah, we have some really amazing partner agencies. I'd love to give them a shout out, but Kelly at Taproom is really amazing, as is Mark at Cold Smoke, Scott at Alpha Omega. They're boutique Shopify Plus shops that focus on headless. And, they, depending on the needs of your project, they'll come in around 30K to 40K.
Okay. So not cheap, but not insanely, that's cheaper than I would have thought. I mean, even 5 years ago, if you're going to do a meaningful Shopify rebuild, you're from scratch, you're looking at, 20 to 40K at least to do it halfway decently with a good team. So that's not insane.
Yeah, it shouldn't be radically different than a high quality Liquid build. What Nacelle does is it brings down the tremendous amount of costs that have to go into the back end to get everything right. It expedites the development process, and it makes it really easy for merchants to get up and running with this. We had a brand called Ballsy that took about 22 business days for them to go live. Kelly at Taproom has done these builds in about 3 weeks in the past. Again, these are some very broad scopes. Everyone has their own scope and everything is going to be different. So I never like to pigeonhole, any sort of one number, but it's not radically different than what you would be looking at if you wanted to do a custom build on Shopify.
I don't know. If you promise double your revenue in 22 days with a headless solution from Nacelle, I think that would sell pretty well.
Right. Well, Ballsy did increase their conversion rates by 28% after they launched.
That's pretty good. Well, this has been really helpful. Thank you for letting someone who obviously does not understand the space nearly as well, even just well at all. Yeah. Very educational. Thanks for, just really makes a lot more sense now the way you described it. So before we wrap this up, anything we've been talking about in Nacelle kind of throughout this discussion, which is your, your headless layer for e-commerce. It's a product that you built out of something that you needed. Anything else that you'd like to mention about it, or especially maybe who, I'm sure people are getting a good sense about it throughout, but who is it a great fit for, and anything that you didn't mention that you'd like to before we wrap up?
Yeah, again, I think it's 2020. There's a lot of new technology. A lot of technology has changed over the past decade. The shopping experience of what it means to shop online, I think, has radically changed. And the psychology of the customer has really changed. It's subtle, but it's important to understand the relationship between page load speed and conversion rates. And I think as you start to think about what your store does from a branding perspective, what it means to actually increase conversion rates, what that equation means when you go to buy media and when you go to grow, it's really important to at least consider what headless can do for you. And it's not appropriate for every brand. You do have to look at the costs. There is some flexibility you have to trade off, and it is a more complicated stack. You have to have a CMS layer and Shopify and something like Nacelle. But I do think the trade-off is well worth it if you're a brand that's really ready to hit the gas pedal.
So you can check them out at getnacelle.com. That's Nacelle is spelled N as in Nancy, Nacelle.com. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, a big thank you to the team at Klaviyo for making the show possible. The best place to send highly segmented messages via email and SMS to your customers to make more money. You can learn more about them and get started at klaviyo.com/ECF, and also brought to you by the eCommerce Fuel Private Community, a vetted form and review directory of 1,000+ in the trenches experienced store owners that you can connect with to help grow your business. If you want to learn more about that and apply for membership, you can do that at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard and adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
The ASY Radio Network, live from New York.